Morning, Open Arms, and all those who are watching this morning. I hope everything is well. I hope that you're hanging in there, and I hope you're spending time in the Word, taking an opportunity of this time that you can't really do a whole lot else, and although that shouldn't be the reason we come to God, it takes some time in prayer, really, really work on those things that you're lacking in your spiritual walk. We have lots of opportunity to do so. And I hope that many are tuned in this morning. What on earth is God doing? That's the message for this morning, because I think it depicts what many are asking. What on earth is God doing? Or a derivative of that question, anyway. And I hope that I'll be able to answer at least partly some of that here this morning. Some of you are very aware of what I'm about to teach, but it just reminds us in the turmoil and in the brokenness of this world that God is still on the throne, and He's still in control, and He is still doing a work, and nothing goes outside of His sovereign will and plan. So He uses all things for the good of those who love Him, who are called according to His purpose. Remember that. So, I wanted to just take a look around you and look inward and know this, that the world is in turmoil. There's a sense of helplessness in many cases. There's a feeling that, you know, there's nothing we can do. Things are out of our control, in a sense, right? And it instills a fear, a worry, an anger at times. I just want to make a side note here. I want you to understand that most of the world is going through this. We're all going through this at the same time. It's all been equaled, and we're all going through this coronavirus. And so we all have this thing in common that unites us together, really. It may not unite us together in heart, but it unites us together in common purpose in the things that are happening. And so as we look at those things, as we look at the stuff, we need to understand something, that we're all in this together. But there are some who have already been going through turmoil, already been going through brokenness in their lives before this coronavirus ever came on. And so think about those and help you to be able to understand that there are already people out there who are going through their own trial apart from this that need your prayers and comfort, need you to love them and care for them, need you to think about them and do what you can to pray for them. Many are concerned with this coronavirus about their financial future, worried and concerned about family members. And some of them are separated from family members, so it makes it even worse. Some are angry because they don't think enough is being done, or angry at other people because they are not doing things right. It causes a lot of anxiety and a lot of fear. And I think that a derivative of fear is anger. I think that's often can be the case. Because we have no control. We have no control over this virus. We have no control over what anybody else does. The very things that have driven our security, the very things that in our lives that we cling to, that we hang on to, have been taken away or in danger of being taken away. Isn't that true? And so what's this cause in people's hearts? The list goes on. There are many other things that people go through and are scared of. But the question is, where is God in all of this? Is He punishing us? Is this the beginning of the end? I've heard both of those questions, right? Why would God allow something like this to happen? Although we can't know the intimate details or the specific details of God's perfect plan, the Bible does give us answers. And I want to focus on a passage today, that just one passage, I'm not going to go beyond this, that gives us some of this answer, or at least the answer in part, a huge part of it anyway. And so I'd like you to stay tuned, pay attention to what's going to be spoken here. I want you to turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 to 11. We're going to start there, and that's primarily where we're going to stick to today. I've got one other scripture that's in 2 Corinthians as well, so you don't have to worry about flipping through your Bibles too much. And I hope that you do have your Bibles with you this morning, and your pens, and take some notes. But right now, let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your truth. I thank you that in trials like this, that it gives us hope, that we know that we're not alone, that we serve a mighty God who's got all things in control and knows how the plan ends and works all things out for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to your purpose. God, I thank you that you are that God. And Lord, I pray that this morning we would have comfort in your truths, in your word. You would have comfort knowing that you have a plan worked out and there's reasons why you allow things to happen. And God, I pray that some of those things would be understood to us here this morning. So Lord, we welcome your spirit to do a work in our hearts. Please speak through me, God. Allow me to speak clearly and effectively. And God, we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to start in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the Father of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any troubles with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, you also share in our comfort. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experience in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we received the sentence of death, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril and will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope, and he will continue to deliver us. He will continue to deliver us as you help us in your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted to us in answer to the prayers of many. The word here, compassion, is literally translated is mercies. And it reveals God's mercy to us in a time of trouble. He mercies to comfort us. In other words, we're not forgotten as his children. Okay? Remember, a child is someone who's put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Someone who's trusted in the cross and the work done upon the cross for the forgiveness of their sins. You are his children if you are redeemed, if you've trusted in that and that alone. And God wants you to know that the sufferings, the things that you're going through, he wants to comfort you with his mercy. He wants you to know that he is there with you. He comforts you. I have this illustration that came to mind. So I want you to use your imaginations. I hope it's not too early for you. I want you to use your imaginations here this morning. Okay, let's suppose that you're out in the sea. And a storm comes up. You're on a boat, and a big storm comes up. Okay, are you there with me? And the waves are tossing you back and forth, and you can't seem to get it together. You're tossed from one side of the boat to the other, and the boat starts to sink slowly, and you're scared to death, and you look to the shore, and although you're a strong swimmer, just imagine if you're a strong swimmer, but the shore, you know, in the storm is impossible to reach. So that hope is gone. You look at the shore, you can see it off the distance, but you don't have the strength to be able to get there on your own. So you're tossed in this boat, you're sinking in this boat slowly, so you think of another alternative, and you think of a life raft. And so you go to get the life raft, only to find out that the storm has busted it to pieces. And you've got this storm that's busted the life raft to pieces, and then, the hope is fading. It's fading fast. And then you thought, okay, I have a life preserver. So you go get the life preserver, only to find out that the storm has taken the life preserver away. Okay? And then, on top of it all, the boat crashes into this rock in the middle of the ocean. Crashes into this rock just to speed up the process of the boat sinking. Now you have a choice. You can curse that rock, or you can get out of the boat and get on the rock, because that's the only thing that's steadfast and sure, and that is your only salvation. Now, in case you missed it, this parallels our Christian life. We may be on a boat, and we may be in a storm, and we may be going through trials, and your hope might be in the things of this world. It may be in the money, and so your financial security is now fading away. We don't know what tomorrow brings. It may be in your relationships. It may be in your health. Neither one of those hold any very much security at all. It may be even in family. But the thing is that you can put all your hope in those things, which if they were taken away in a moment, if all your hope was in them, what would you cling to? Would you curse the very one who says, I am here for you, I am the one who is secure and steadfast? Or would you curse him who says that and go down in despair? Or would you cling to him because he's the only thing that is immovable? Would you, in other words, are you going to put your faith and trust in the temporary things of this world, the things that were created rather than the Creator? Is that what you're going to hold your hope in? Not to blame God, but to cling to Him through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ, and what He's done for you. So when you look at the storms of life, whether you're a believer here or not, God is calling us. God is calling us to cling to the rock. To cling to the rock. Not to curse the rock, not to ignore the rock, but to cling to the rock, because all else is sinking sand, isn't it? All else is sinking sand. All else is temporary. Will you cling to the rock? I'm going to go back to verse 4 in a moment at the top of the page, but I really want to go down to verse 8. I want to read that over for you, this few passages here, and I want to point some things out. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we received the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril and will deliver us again. Let's stop there. Paul's troubles were, it's obvious that they were from persecution. And so he went through these trials of persecution. And maybe that's not the trial that we're going through, although ultimately our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against the evil one. And so when we look at this trial that we may be going through, is nonetheless a trial that these principles that we read in this passage are so very true. They apply. They apply. So as we look at the trials of the truth, that we question the troubles and why God allows things. We can speculate why God allows such a things, but His Word tells us why He allows such a things. Some even use this as an excuse to drive them further away from God. And God's holding out His hand and saying, listen, I just want you to know that all those things, it's time for you to understand that they will not last. They will not last. All created things will not last. And if your hope is in them, that's silly. I want you to know that I am here for you. This is Paul's reason for this. He says, these things happen so that we will not rely on ourselves, but God. If you wanted to really understand why God allows things to happen, that's one of the greatest reasons. That we not lean on or trust in the things of this world. I like how I was listening to a webinar. I had to get that straight. A webinar from Henry Cloud. And one of the things he said really stuck. A few things. But one thing that really stuck was in the Bible, as we read it, as you read through it, if you know it at all, if you know the stories, they're all bad news, or most of them are bad news, right? They're just like, there's bad stories, bad things happening all throughout the Bible, right? There's rebellions and wars and fights, and it's just continuously happening. And through it all, I'd just like to point out, but through it all, there always immerses a hero. There's always a hero that comes about. Now, before you start thinking that David and all them are the heroes, see, you're wrong. Because the thing is through all those stories and all those people, almost every one of them went wrong. Something happened wrong in their life. They went astray. Always, always the hero is God. Now, you can look at this storm that we're going through, and you can look at life, and you can look at whatever trials you're going through. And you can think that if I only had this, or I only had that, or this would come together, or this person would do something, or however you want to direct your path. You can look at all those things, and you can think those are the answers. But in the end, there's only one answer, and it is Jesus Christ. And he wants to be your hero because he's really the only true hero. So what are you putting your faith and trust in? Even as believers, what are you putting your faith and trust in? The point of the narrative is that most of the whole narrative of the Bible is this, that everyone will fail. But God will be there for you if you trust in him. Everyone will fail. Everything on this earth will fail. Everything on this earth is temporary. Now, even if you're not a believer in Christ, you gotta understand that. Nothing lasts. Nothing lasts. But God says, I will last. I'm eternal. Will you trust in me? So the ultimate test is if where do you put your hope? In this storm, in the brokenness, in the trials, where do you put your hope? I want you to ask yourself that question. And some right now may be saying, I put my hope in Jesus Christ. I put my hope in Jesus Christ. So let's put that to the ultimate test. Let's say that all the things that you hold dear, the most precious things in your life, are taken away. Scary. But some of you are experiencing this. Will your hope still be in Jesus Christ? When all else is gone, when you've got nothing in this world to cling to, is your hope still in him? That's the ultimate test, isn't it? To find out who your hope truly is in. See, the things of this world will not last, but the things of God last for eternity. Our joy and our hope cannot be on the things that God gives. And everything that we receive, God gives with great pleasure. He loves to give. He's a giving God. He loves to give you these precious things. Even our money. Even our resources. Our health. The people in our lives. Our families. He gives us all these things. They're a gift. But understand one thing. That God is the one responsible for giving to you. He is the creator. And he had no plan for you to trust, or me to trust, in the things he gives us. We can't trust in the gifts. We got to trust in the giver of the gifts. And God says, this is to shake you up. When we start losing the things that we hold dearly to, are we going to cling to the rock? He's waiting to be your comforter through the storm, that you will look beyond the moment that only lasts a moment in his eyes, that you'll look beyond the moment to be ultimately comforted for all eternity. 2 Corinthians 4:17, this is the only other passage that or verse that I'm using besides the, the main passage. 2 Corinthians 4:17, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. When we look at the trials, even the trials and the sufferings that we go through in this world, they're temporary. And God says, I need you to trust me. I know that it's hard. I know that it can devastate people. I know that. And I know that it feels like there's no hope, and there is no hope in this world. But the hope lasts is in the eternal. It's in me, the hope. And I need you to hang on to that truth. So, as we are to look at the reason why God allows trials, that's definitely one major reason, is that He desires us to turn to Him, to cling to Him, the rock, and not to turn to other things. See, even in the storm, believers can look around them. They can be on the rock. They have found the rock. They've clung to the rock. But in the midst of the storm, their focus starts to be on other things. And they look at the waves and they look at the storm around them and they forget about the security that they have in the rock. They forget about who they are in. In Christ, I want you to remember, what are you doing to remind yourself of this truth? What are you doing to remind yourself? What are you doing to remind your brothers and sisters in this? I want to go back up to verse 4 for a moment. We're going to read down to the end of verse 7. Who comforts us all in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any troubles with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, nothing is more true than that now, and so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so you also share in our comfort. Did you hear that? That our sufferings in this world are a way that we just don't cling to Him ourselves. But God uses our sufferings so we can comfort other people in their sufferings. It acts as a unity of the body that we suffer together so we can be comforted together. See, there's a primary purpose why God is calling us to go through suffering. But then there's these derivatives of why God is calling us to go through trials and sufferings. It bonds us closer together, or I hope it does. Because we are there for one another. We got to love one another. We got to care for one another. And we always point to the rock. We always point to the rock. Because the rock is the one thing that's steadfast and sure. If you love your neighbor, you will point them to the rock. You will not criticize them. You will not hate them. You will not look upon them with any sort of judgment, but you will point them to the rock. You will point them to the rock. That is what our job is to do as Christians. So, are you doing that? How are you comforting your neighbor? How are you comforting one another? What is your primary objective here? Are you more concerned about your own comfort? Or are you loving people? It's not self-seeking. Love is not self-seeking, right? It's to reach out and to care for people. Are you pointing them to the rock? You know, people can be on the rock. People can be safe. People can trust in Jesus Christ. And this is who this alludes to, right? The rock is Jesus. People can be on the rock. They've already found the rock, but then they get scared, right? Just like I said. And so the question is, how are you reminding yourself on the rock? But how are we reminding one another? Sometimes it's not just words that will accomplish this. Sometimes it's our actions. How we act towards one another that reveals the gospel in our lives. Yes, we need to tell them, but we need to show them as well. Are you doing that? Are you doing that? You see, suffering is never desired. Suffering is never desired, and it's not something we love. But the worst kind of suffering is suffering alone. And brother and sister in Christ, we are never called to suffer alone. We're called to be together as one. We're never called to do this alone. Okay? We need to understand that we are suffered together, that we can make comfort one another together. God is in communion with us, which leads to this next part of this passage. Verse 10, on him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us. As you help us by your prayers, then many will give thanks on our behalf for the glorious favor granted us in the answer to the prayers of many. Did you know one of the greatest ways? I mean, we're clinging to the rock, and here we are. We need to be just not satisfied, just sitting on top of the rock and understanding that I'm good, but understanding that there are some who are brothers and sisters in Christ who have kind of slipped off the rock. Their kind of focus is off the rock, and they're drifting away. And what is our responsibility is to keep one hand on the rock and one hand in the water. And we're reaching out to our brothers and sisters in Christ and saying, listen, I'm here for you. I'm here for you. And there's no better way to do that. There's no better way to do that than prayer. That's not the only way, but there's no better way than to connect. Listen to me for a minute. Your prayer life is so important and so critical in the midst of the storm. Because what it does is it connects you to God and God to you and to others. You see the connection there? You've got one hand on the rock and God is strengthening you. And you're depending and relying upon the rock. But your prayer life extends to those who desperately need you. Now that could be a brother and sister in Christ, or that could be someone who knows nothing about the rock. Is this the opportunity you are taking to share with them the love of Jesus Christ? This is an opportunity, church, that we have to show people the gospel and the importance of it and how critical it is for us to reach out and to love people and to pray for one another and to pray for those who are drifting in the sea, tossed back and forth by the waves, who have no idea that there's a rock on the other side of that wave. And until they see your hand reach through that wave to draw them in, to point them to the rock, there is no hope for them, because their hope is in the temporary things of this world. And those things are gone. Those things have washed away in the storm. There's nothing left except for Jesus Christ. Are you clinging to the rock? Are you pointing others to the rock? I just want to review with you for a moment, if you allow me, just to bring these things home. What on earth is God doing? Well, at least this is one reason. It is very important that God allows trials and sufferings in our lives, because it is here that we recognize our need for him. When all else is pushed away and pushed to the side, we recognize our desperate need for him, not for the things that will only last for a moment. The second point I want to make or have made in this message is temporary possessions and all created things, they create a distraction, even from the church, even from the believers. A distraction from God, who is the very reason we exist. Number three, the comfort we receive in our sufferings through Christ is not for us alone, but is to be a conduit that we be used to comfort one another. And number four, our prayers are not only important, but they're a most critical part of our love and care for not only God, but for others. We are dependent upon God and we love others. We're pointing them to it. It is here, the intimate connection is here in your prayer life. The intimate connection between others, yourself, and God lies. And it is here we see God receive the glory in thanksgiving. It is here. So, those things, when we ask the question, Those things that, why, what on earth is God doing? That is exactly what he's doing, at least in part. And so we need to understand that this is an opportunity for not only for us to draw closer to God through Christ, to put aside those things that draw us away from God, but also an opportunity to point others to the rock, to those who are in desperate need of comfort. Point them to the only thing steadfast and true, the rock. Let me pray with you. Father God, thank you. Thank you for the comfort that you give us. We know that hope is assured. Hope is eternal. We know that things in this world, even those who don't know you, know that things in this world will not last. But you're the one who's steadfast and true, the one who will last for eternity. And Lord, I pray that you will remind us of that in the midst of the storm and help us be a comfort to one another in the midst of the storm, that we would help one another pointing through the rock and telling the world of your wonderful grace and love.